Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the region's only locally produced public affairs program. Every Saturday at this time, we speak to people making a difference in Bedford County. Now, here's our host, Lloyd Roach.
Thank you, Mac DeFazio, and good morning to you. Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, a weekly public affairs program of News Talk 98.7 FM and 1310 AM WBFD. This morning's program is brought to you as a public service by the Bedford County Development Association, BCDA, presenting the Bedford County Advantage, a future built on opportunity, collaboration, and exceptional quality of life. We want to welcome this morning Jeff Crist, who is our guest today on Bedford County Speaks. Jeff is the president of Gatter & Deal, an engineering firm based in Bedford and Mechanicsburg. I must tell you, Jeff, before we get going, I went to down to the BCDA office thinking that you were located in that little building down there. So I talked to Mel and I said, where is Jeff? Where's he hide? He's always up on the hill. So I had to go up on the hill to find you. Anyway, it was great to have you here. And thank you very much for joining me. I really appreciate it very much.
Well, thank you, Lloyd. It's great to
Jeff has an interesting background. Before we went on the air, you told me you're from an old Bedford County family, which is interesting unto itself. But you're originally from the Pavia area. Is that right?
Oh, my family is originally from the Pavia area. Yeah, the Chris side, and a lot of folks up in that area are relatives of mine.
Did you grow up here?
Yes, I grew up here in Bedford County.
So where did you go to high school?
I went to Chestnut Ridge.
So what was it like then, Chestnut Ridge? That was not too long ago, but it was a while ago.
It was great. It was a good experience. I don't really have any regrets about anything. I had learned a lot from a lot of my teachers there and consider them mentors.
Excellent. And so from there, you went on to be blue and white, I understand, at Penn State. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Yep. Penn State. Yep. Engineering.
When did you go to school there?
1980. That's when
so
I started there.
So 1980. Yeah. So you got a degree at Penn State, and I understand another school, and also you ended up with a professional engineering certificate. I've explained this to people before when I've talked to PEs. This is not a commonplace certification. This takes quite a bit of effort, time and study. You actually have to be working for a while before you actually get your PE, don't you?
That's correct, yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there's a period of time when I believe you're in engineering training. Am I using the right terms here?
Yeah. Yes, yeah, engineering training.
So what was your discipline? What was your field?
Electrical engineering was my discipline.
So when you went to work, did you come to work here or did you work somewhere else? Or how did you get time?
No, I kind of grew up in the electrical business. My stepfather was a master electrician, so I learned a lot about electricity from age about 8 on up, and then began to take some odd jobs in high school and in college. And then when I got out of high school, I started at this firm that I'm at right now.
Oh wow. So you've been here a long time.
40 years, going on 41 years
Holy
now.
Holy smoke. Yeah. So they must have had a very good internship program, it sounds like.
Yeah, they were very good. Yeah, a lot of good folks there and that I hold in high regard.
Is there a Gatter and a Deal?
Yes. Mr. Gatter and Mr. Deal started the company in 1946.
So are they still around or are they?
No, unfortunately, they both have passed away. Right. I've only met Mr. Deal back in the 80s. Right. Mr. Gatter had already passed away.
So is there a family still involved with the company at all?
None of their family from the original owners is involved in the company anymore.
So tell me a bit about the firm. I know you have an office at Mechanicsburg. I worked in Harrisburg for a while, so you're there. And so tell me a little bit about the firm. How's it work?
So our headquarters right now is in Mechanicsburg, but this office is, I consider, almost equal to the Mechanicsburg office. We just do a lot of our accounting practices through that. Mm-hmm. But the firm does a lot of work in the architecture and construction industry, working with architects, and sometimes hiring architects, and many times architects hire us to perform certain building services like mechanical, electrical, plumbing, data, fire protection, those types of things.
Can you kind of walk us through why a firm like yours would be brought into a project? I was going to make something up, but I thought maybe it'd be better if you told me about an actual project without revealing any company secrets. But I'm just saying, how would it go if I was going to start to build something in this industrial park, as an example? Where does it begin? I mean, are you from the first people on scene, or what happens?
So the first people on scene are usually the civil engineers. So they do the land development and make sure all the stormwater and all the utilities are available and the capacities. And the architect works with them on the actual building layout and the requirements for the building. And the engineers come in and do structural, HVAC, plumbing, electrical, power systems, lighting, data voice, video systems to support it. So you have a large group of engineers, architects working together on the project. So, you know, going through with the civil engineering, sometimes you're looking at 6 months to 9 months on land development process. And then you can move on as simultaneous to that, you can be designing the building, et cetera. But the longest approvals are usually the land development process itself and getting approvals, especially if it's something with a state like DEP, et cetera.
I participated in the construction of a 911 emergency center in Chester County, where I was living at the time. And I was astounded at how much electrical infrastructure had to be put in that building, not just for the communications gear, but backup, the battery backups to the computers and the generators and all this stuff that had to all work at the same time. It had to work right if the power went off. So is that the kind of work you get into?
Absolutely, yeah. We get into some very complex power systems. People probably wouldn't realize that a small firm like ours does giant projects all over the United States and into Mexico. But we do them out of Mechanicsburg and here in Bedford, and projects that are upwards of $60, $70, $80, even $100 million. And they have backup generators, sometimes multiple generators paralleled. Sometimes we have microturbines running combined heat and power systems. It's where we produce hot water from the exhaust off the turbines while we simultaneously generate electricity and use that hot water to heat the building. And we can use it to cool it through things like gas absorption chillers, et cetera. We do all types of engineering projects across the United States with various technologies like geothermal, rooftop VAV systems. We use chillers, boilers, gas-fired turbines. There's a multitude of different types of systems that we can integrate into buildings.
Holy smoke. Several years ago, I worked in the John Hancock Center in Chicago. We had a radio station on the 13th floor. And when we first rented the space, I went and I said, this building was 105 stories high, almost 1,000 feet. And our antennas are on top of the building. You may have seen pictures of Chicago. You see these two things that look like the Batman building. And that was the building.
Okay.
And that's where those antennas up there were television and FM radio stations. And I asked the people in the engineering department, they were up there to fix a door or something, I said, how do you heat this place? And he pointed and he said, the lights. Is it that the fluorescent lights light this, heat this building? And I said, Chicago goes to 10 below zero here. He says, they heat the building. And I thought, wow, that is fascinating. Now, they had about a billion fluorescent lights in that building. And they're probably the old ones that had a lot of heat coming out. I don't know how they do it now, but this was 40 years ago. Wow, that was so impressive to see that.
Yeah.
So is that the kind of thing you get involved with too?
Oh, absolutely. We do what's called total building energy modeling, where we do load analysis of the building so we know how to heat it and how to cool it and what the capacities of the systems are. Right. So what the capacities of the systems are. In doing that, you have to know, you know, how many watts of lighting you have in the building, and then what the people load is. Like each person is so many BTUs of latent heat, and it means moisture is in the air, you know, as we breathe, and sensible heating. So there's all these things that go into it, the equipment, the electronics, the computers, how much heat is being generated, and then how much solar gain you get from windows, and what the thermal envelope is consisting of as far as R value, windows with their U values. This all goes into a computer model, and then we can model the entire building and understand as we go through hour by hour, 8,760 hours in a year, we can do hour by hour analysis using the local weather data from airports, et cetera, whether it was cloudy, et cetera, those days. And then it gives us a feedback on what the maximums and mins were and the overall medians were, averages, et cetera. And we can then pick equipment sized right for the building. And we can even change the types of systems and run natural gas into the building and see what is the cost of that to heat this building versus straight up electricity or a geothermal system. you know, we can run all these different analysis, get the cost of per kilowatt hour of electricity. We plug that into the software, and it gives the owner an idea of what their utility reoccurring costs would be over the years, and what's the difference in if we change the insulation of the wall or the roof, or change the glass on the building. What impact does that have on their utility costs? So it's a very complicated
process. Sure is. I was thinking that a project like that in Miami, Florida, for cooling must be incredible, where the temperatures can stay around 90 degrees or 100 degrees for days on end, and you have to incorporate all this data in there just to keep the building at a comfortable temperature.
Florida is obviously cooling dominant.
Yeah.
Where Pennsylvania, we're essentially in 5 months of cooling and 7 months of heating, but we're actually a cooling dominant space. The cooling outweighs in BTUs the heating on the maximum level, not on a continuous duration level, but on a maximum level.
So that's why it costs more to air condition a house.
Yeah, that could explain that, yeah.
I hear you speaking about this. Obviously, what's going on right now are these server farms, talking about these enormous data centers you're going to build.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be a real challenge for guys like you to build this stuff. I can't even imagine what's going to build. There's no people in it, but we have all these. As we speak, Jeff's got a server running in the background here. You might hear a little whir from it. Why is it going to take so much electricity to run one of these places?
Well, the density of the CPUs and the data racks is just so dense and it's compact, it's giving off a lot of heat. So to get rid of that heat, we need to be able to cool the space. And, you know, these data centers, you know, they're many of them are hundreds of thousands of square feet, if not a million or more. They're huge, and there's some really huge ones in Virginia. We're doing a small one in Maryland. That is a mini compared to what, you know, we're used to seeing on TV. But they're very condensed and packed and tight, and the heat that's given off is tremendous as the CPU power is just computing, you know, all the requirements that are being placed upon it. So we have to have cooling outside to reject this heat, and we use a lot of times chillers. Now, there's a lot of controversy with the chillers using water because they use evaporative cooling to reject the heat into the air. But there's also a process now where they're actually using direct chip cooling on the servers, where they actually little tubes of water is circulating through the circuit boards, and it's coming back and connects to larger and larger pipes until it gets back to the main mechanical room, and where it's that warm water is pumped outside and it goes through an air-cooled chiller that doesn't evaporate water. That's the kind of latest and greatest as far as conserving our natural resources water-wise, is to use air-cooled chillers and direct-to-chip cooling. But a lot of data centers have a bad rap where they're evaporating millions of gallons of water. Right. And that's what you'll see many times on the news or on YouTube or here in the papers.
So that's old news. They have these new technologies coming right behind it. It's always been my observation that these problems are ultimately solved. I mean, I remember when they first built the power plants for the nuclear power plants. We had a couple near where I lived, and everybody said, "Oh, you're going to drain all the water out of the Delaware River. We'll never see it again." And, you know, it worked out fine. It worked very well.
Yeah.
This is kind of an odd question, but if you had a grandson today starting, say, at Penn State or Pitt or something, engineering program, what would you tell him to study? Because this is a changing technology that's changing at the speed of light.
Well, first and foremost, I would tell him to study something that he's passionate about. You have to be passionate about your job. You don't want to go to a job that you dread getting up and going to every day. But, you know, the grandfather side of me would say, hey, well, you should look at engineering because there's so many different facets of engineering that you can go into. And it allows you a lifestyle to be able to be places and still get your work done. So, you know, like a lot of our employees will sometimes work from home, but they're very good employees and they get their work done. But if they have a doctor's appointment or those types of things, there's flexibility in our policies and procedures to allow them to work from home on those days. Whereas, you know, maybe if you're in a different type of industry, you have to be on site every moment to get that work done. So there's some pros and cons with that. There's different stress levels. One might be, you know, on the engineering side, a mental stress, where if you're in the maybe the physical side of things, you have a physical stress. And I always said mental stress takes a lot longer to get over than physical stress.
You bet. Our guest today is Jeff Christ, who is with Gather and Deal. He is a professional engineer. And when we come back, I'm going to ask you a kind of a gotcha question so you have time to think about it. I want to know what your views are on nuclear power when Bedford County Speaks continues.
This is Tom Wright of Bedford Reinforced Plastics, and you are listening to Bedford County Speaks on News Talk FM 98.7 and 1310 AM WBFD.
Today's Bedford County Speaks is presented as a public service by the Bedford County Development Association. BCDA President Jen Marsh, along with her professional staff, are building new business, residential, and outdoor recreation opportunities in Bedford County. BCDA builds business parks and fully operational building sites, such as the newly opened Rural Electric Cooperative Operations Center in Business Park 1, or site-ready locations in Business Park 2. In addition to excellent locations for business and industry, BCDA builds relationships that have added millions of dollars and thousands of jobs to Bedford County. BCDA represents a future built on opportunity, collaboration, and the exceptional quality of life that defines our region. To learn more, visit bcda.org.
Now let's return to Lloyd and his guest on Bedford County Speaks.
We have returned, and our guest today is Jeff Christ, Gather and Deal, and we are at Five Corporate Center in the Industrial Park, in the beautiful BCDA Industrial Park on this very sunny day. I would like to pose a question to you. I'm personally a big fan of nuclear power. I think that as a nation, as a society, we got really chickened out on this several years ago when they had the difficulty at TMI and then later the big one in Chernobyl. But I was in Harrisburg when that happened. I remember thinking at the time that it was overplayed by the media. They thought it was an atom bomb ready to go off, and you know, it's a nuclear reactor. It was, you know, they did have some escape of some fissile material, but other than that, it was really okay. And the fact that we ran these things for decades without any incident at all, not to mention a trillion nuclear submarines and aircraft carriers. I remember Hyman Rickover was alive when that happened in 1979. And he, you know, he was very brusque, and he said, "If my boys had been there, it'd never happen." And he was probably right, you know, because that's what it is. It's all about paying attention. But I think the same thing is you pay attention in a server farm, you pay attention in an air conditioning plant, a large building. So what are your views on this? Do you think this has a future?
Yeah, I really do. I think it needs a good hard look, and it needs a push politically, and you know, the science behind it has gotten much, much better. Yeah. We understand it better, and I think the waste from the sites is being handled better. It's not as bad as it once was. So I would like to see some movement on that in the future. I think it's a clean way to develop our power. You know, not that I'm somebody that's going to like say, oh, fossil fuels are the worst, because right. We have some clean fossil fuels like natural gas that we can use. But definitely, I think the wave of the future would be nuclear, and I think TMI is being resurrected right now for some data center use down in the Middletown
area.
Yeah,
something like Google bought it or something. Yes. I mean, they're going to use it to just run their data centers. And that should be an indication of how much we're going to need this power, because they had to literally go find an existing plant. The good half is still around. I guess Unit 2 is the good half.
Yes.
So to me, that was a big positive. But now we're all talking about building these data centers, and they're all having a fit about we're not having enough power, and this could be an instant solution.
Yeah, some of the mini reactors is what's being talked about now. You know, do we do the mini reactors and locate them in multiple locations instead of the giant reactors like TMI was at the time? And I think that needs looked at and studied closely, and obviously some regulation and monitoring put in place to avoid situations like we had at Three Mile Island.
Do you think mini reactor would be good to run like Bedford County? Could you get one to do that?
I think you could. Obviously. Yeah, we're not a densely populated area with a lot of tremendous power requirements, but it could be something. You know, there used to be a reactor up at Saxton that was used for scientific purposes, et cetera. A lot of people didn't realize that, but it was there. And I think with the right oversight, it could be something to be looked at, and whether it's located here in the county or not, to be something that needs to be talked about and discussed thoroughly.
Because following that, if if there were plans like that, I would imagine we would be a magnet for a data center. Have any data centers approached Bedford County?
There has been. One has been working with BCDA a little bit, just testing the water, so to speak.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I think it's a good discussion to have. I mean, we got nothing but room.
One of the things you need with nuclear is you need cooling, and usually you have to be close to a river.
Right.
You know, for that. So, that would be one of the things you need, very sustainable flow of water.
How does it work? They run water through the cooling systems, and that's what those big towers are, to bring the temperatures down the water and put it back?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Because I remember they did that on
a lot of people think many people are familiar with Three Mile Island, you drive by it and you still see it on the turnpike. The big towers there, those are cooling towers. Right. The unit is a little dome.
When I first saw it, I thought the same thing. I thought, well, these things are really big, but actually that big round concrete is to cool the water.
Yep.
Because they put it back in the Susquehanna. Good luck with this. I'd like to see it come sooner than later, but I know these things take forever. Which kind of gives me a good way to segue into your role at BCDA. The Bedford County Development Association obviously is here to encourage new business to come to Bedford County, and I know you've been very involved in that, along with Jen Marsh's predecessor, Betty Slayton. And in fact, we have new stuff going up at the Betty Slayton Park, which is a good thing. Mm-hmm. But how did that work out with your own profession? It was a nice integration because you get involved in the construction of new things, and now you're on the board of doing the same thing for others. And did you enjoy the work when you were chairman?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I enjoyed it and was honored to be able to serve. Yeah. It kind of comes naturally to me because that's the industry I'm in is, the construction side of things, the land development side of things, the building side of things. So that's kind of a natural fit for me. Some of the things that we had, guys like me had to learn was some of the acronyms. There's a lot of acronyms,
right? Not to mention the ones in your own industry.
yeah, absolutely. So so when you're dealing with state officials, et cetera, navigating the political environment and, learning what grants might be applicable and how they would be applicable and whether they're going to be able to be used on a certain project that here in Bedford County, we have to pick and choose certain things and, what's the likelihood or the high percentage ones that we can win. And it's great having a group of forward thinkers like we have at BCDA. The board has been tremendous over the years, just staffed by great people.
Well, that's evident. And you can see, I've worked in other counties, and in other counties they call these outfits usually commerce departments. And they often operate under the aegis of the county commissioners. For example, the one I'm most familiar with was in Delaware County. And Commerce Department was just a department of the county. And they had one or two people in there to just write letters. And I got here to Bedford and I thought, whoa, they got a whole thing going on. They got their own building. They have a staff. They have research. They have people that get grants. It really is quite extraordinary how advanced this place was or is. Compared to some of the other counties. Have you recognized that as you've been around Pennsylvania?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's really streamlined with great people. People is what makes a difference. And people that want to see things happen and are forward-leaning, I always say. Always have a forward lean to make things happen. Right. And, we've had that right from Betty Slayton's succession right through Jen Marsh. And Jen is taken off and just not skipping a beat, and it's been great. And you have great support people at BCDA like Melanie to help out with Jen on things, and we've got a lot of good people like Katie. We just got a new guy that's looking at outdoor rec, Jason. It's great. Great people.
I didn't think it would be possible to find anybody that had the energy level of Betty until I met Jen.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is extraordinary. She's like Betty 2, or maybe Betty squared. Went like
yeah,
that, you know?
Yeah.
So it's great she's been a...
Yeah, she is. She's Betty squared.
Great. Yeah, Betty squared. Well, I don't want to go to that. She'd get mad at me. She's going to hear this and get mad at me. But yeah, it really is. The other experience I had with that, there was a guy I used to work with named Gary Smith in Chester County, who was very much like Betty, very, very forward-thinking. But that also was unusual to see that. There was a huge amount of turnpike construction going through his county. and they and an outfit called the TMAC, the Transportation Management Association of Chester County, of which I was chairman, we worked with him to open up a what they called a slip ramp on the turnpike, which later now is just an interchange. They have this open tolling. But it just made all the difference in the world. All of a sudden, you get off the turnpike, and boom, you're right in the middle of an industrial park. So that has really made the kind of change that, that really made that boom down there, almost to the extent where people said boom too much. One of the things I do run in here into Bedford County is I've talked to several people, especially people in business, say, we want it to grow, but not too much. So yeah. Define for me what not too much is.
Yeah, no, I have the same concern. I mean, you know, one of the reasons that I love Bedford County is because there's a nice blend of rural activities school districts that are wonderful. You know, all the districts here in Bedford County are just great places to educate your children. And that's one of the reasons that I've loved the county over the years. So you look at some of the mountains and the pristine waterways, et cetera. You know, you want to preserve those. Mm-hmm. So we want it to grow, but maybe we want it to grow around places where the where it makes sense, like right. the infrastructure, where the infrastructure is available, such as the highways, like the Turnpike, Route 30, I-99, all the connectivity in that respect, along with things like where we have natural gas and plenty of power and communications, et cetera. So that's that kind of gets tied into why is the business parks being developed where they're being developed here in Bedford County, and that's it has to do with infrastructure. And I think as long as we, you know, we have a long way to go. We've got a lot of property here in Bedford County, and I'd hate to see, you know, some of the areas way out where we have pristine areas, you know, be developed with, say, a factory, and there's some noise comes out of it, and maybe you're trying to enjoy a state park or something, and like, what's that noise in the background? Because anybody that likes outdoors likes to sometimes get lost in you know, out there and do some hiking or biking or what have you. And you just like the tranquility of the area when you're in there.
Standard.
Correct. That's correct.
Our guest is Jeff Crist, Gatter Deal and the former chairman of the BCDA. And we learned a little bit earlier about the Gatter Deal engineering firm. Mechanicsburg and here are the two only locations. Are there other locations?
No, that's the only two locations we have. Yeah.
So you obviously do business in the Harrisburg area, I guess, in that other
location. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Is there any big project you're working on now you can talk about?
Getting ready to do the Bedford County Tech Center addition. Down in the Harrisburg region, we're doing major projects for Susquehanna School District and many others.
Wow.
And then we have some techie clients.
You do a lot of schools, it seems.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we do a lot of schools, yeah.
When you do these things, I bet you develop some experience and expertise that makes you even better. Because every time you do one, I assume you learn something.
Yeah, we do. And, you know, hats off to our staff. We have great employees. They're very, very methodical and very astute about what they're designing and who it's for and what its intended purpose is. And they look at it as more than a building because we do a lot of things like healthcare too. And if you think about it, senior living sometimes can move into the skilled care arena, which is really almost healthcare. It is kind of a lower level healthcare. Yeah, we think of these things we're building buildings that help to educate students, or we're building a hospital or a healthcare facility to help those in need. So it takes on a meaning to our engineers and designers more so than, well, it's just brick and mortar.
Yeah.
You know, it's really we're thinking these are facilities that are needed and they function to serve society. So that's kind of our culture. That's how we look at it.
Good.
Yeah, we have a lot of select clients too that we repeat clients. Probably 80% of our business is just repeat clients coming back to us to continue to do work over and over and over. Maybe 20% is new work.
Our guest is Jeff Crist with the company of Gatter and Deal. And I think this whole discussion about the future of electrical power is a big deal right now, not just because of the data centers, but we're using more than we ever imagined. You see any changes happening in the electrical grid? That big place down in King of Prussia someplace, that PJM, where they make all those decisions about who gets what?
Yeah, so, you know, some of the things that concern me about is the electrical grid itself, right? Because our grid in America is a little old. But, you know, how we manage power and move it around the country and supply power when we have power outages or disasters, et cetera, becomes of vital importance. to offset what we're seeing as demand during the summer. Yeah. Those kinds of things can certainly happen. It's mostly being held up politically.
Well, we get this new nuke. I'm going to name it after you. We're out of time. I've really enjoyed talking to you very, very much. You're a very interesting guy, Jeff, and I wish you well with this. This is super. Maybe you'll be here for another 40 years. I'll come back and talk to you.
That would be great.
Somebody will.
Well, thank you, Lloyd.
We want to thank Jeff Christ from Gatter & Dealer for joining us here at Bedford County Speak. This morning's program was brought to you as a public service by the Bedford County Development Association, BCDA, presenting the Bedford County Advantage, a future built on opportunity, collaboration, and exceptional quality of life that defines our region. To learn more, visit bcda.org. I forgot to ask you, how do we learn more about Gatter & Deal? Do you have a website?
Just go to gatterdeal.com, GatterDiehl.com, and it shows you some of the projects we do and all the different segments.
Almost forgot. So thank you very much. Appreciate it. This is Lloyd Roach. See you next Saturday. Until then, have a great week.
You have been listening to Bedford County Speaks over 98.7 FM and 1310 AM WBFD. The show is heard right here every Saturday at 8:30 AM. If you'd like to hear the program again, visit bedfordcountyspeaks.com. Join us next time for Bedford County Speaks.